Hello, Dale Partridge here. You're listening to an episode from the Real Christianity Archive. Veronica and I originally began this podcast under the name Ultimate Marriage as a resource for our online marriage mentor program found at ultimatemarriage.com. While our marriage program is still a critical part of our ministry, after about 30 episodes, we decided to change the name of this podcast to Real Christianity as a way to widen the scope of our biblical content. That said, these are some of our most popular episodes, so please enjoy and stay with us on the journey to bring the church back to the Bible. Welcome to Ultimate Marriage. Today we are talking about
pornography, parenting, and the sin of flirting.
The sin of flirting.
Yes.
That means flirting with other people that are not your spouse. Excited to have a conversation today. This is a quick episode. I don't know if it'll be that quick, but it'll be maybe 30 minutes or so. We'll see. You guys will see the end of the show and see if I predicted that correctly. But this is an episode that is airing in Christmas week, literally the day after Christmas. Mm-hmm. And so we want to just give you guys something short to listen to if you're traveling. Hopefully this will be edifying to you guys. We're hitting three hard topics. Pornography.
Yeah, we're answering three hard questions
good clarification. We're going to answer three questions. And so this is a Q&A session today. Three questions. One on pornography, one on parenting, and one on flirtationships and how we should think about those. A couple things before we get started. Again, this is a YouTube channel podcast. Also means that you could subscribe to our YouTube channel, watch these live on YouTube. I keep looking at this other camera as if we're using it. We've been using just one camera for our shoots lately. We'll get the other camera going here again soon. A couple other things. Yeah, if you're listening to this on iTunes, you can get and listen to it on Spotify. You can listen to it on Google Play. You can listen to it on Stitcher. You can listen to it. There's other places. Anyways, we got the podcast up just about everywhere. Mm-hmm. And if you'd be willing to leave a review on iTunes, again, I'm telling you, iTunes will elevate the visibility of the show based off of reviews. So if you would just be willing, if you've been listening to the show and you still haven't left a review, I'm convicting you right now to go and just leave a review. Just tap the stars, write something if you want to. You don't even need to write something. But that's all of our request. This is episode number 25, which means that we've been doing this for almost half a year, 25 weeks in a row. The day after the 25th of Christmas, or 25th of December, which is Christmas, we've had 330,000 downloads of our show as of the airing of this, or the recording of this. 330,000 times people have downloaded and listened to our show of just 25 shows, 6 months worth. We are humbled about that. I think about, what if we just didn't start this?
Yeah, I don't know. You shouldn't tell me these numbers. I always tell you that. Now I'm going to have stage fright. I don't like knowing the numbers.
We have over 1,600 reviews on the podcast. It is currently the most rated and highest rated marriage podcast in the world. And that is a big deal. If you guys would continue to keep us there, the truth of God's word will get out to more couples. Last few things. We uploaded and created a new resources page at our website, ultimatemarriage.com. So if you just go to ultimatemarriage.com/resources, we added a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, you'll see some of the books that we've recommend and we've read on parenting, on marriage, other podcasts that we recommend.
Yeah. I also organized all of our shows and articles that we've heard of or read somewhere else by topic. So if you have like an issue with sex, there's a bunch of articles and stuff on sex. If you have an issue on parenting, there's articles on parenting or fighting or whatever it might be. So there's lots of cool stuff there. Again, just ultimatemarriage.com/resources. You can check that out.
And that will continue growing as well.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We added a bunch of stuff to start.
We have more that we'd like to add on there and just stuff that we also accumulate throughout the next
as we read or hear a new podcast, we'd like to add those things there. So we're going to go ahead and start, and Veronica is going to read the question. This question is I'm going to hit probably pretty hard because it's a question about pornography and the men. And then we're going to move into a parenting question that I think Veronica is going to hit.
Okay. First question for Dale, and I'm going to try. We read your reviews, and I know a lot of you guys need me to speak louder or more directly into the mic. So I'm going to make sure I try and do that today.
We'll see. Maybe
I'll just keep my hands here.
Don't do that.
<Just kidding. laughs> Okay. First question. I found several porn searches and sites on my husband's history, and the rest of his search history and Google activity history has been cleared, but he swears he never searched it and it was probably a pop-up or virus. How can I trust my husband's word when the evidence is stacked against him?
Okay, so this idea of a pop-up or virus doing this, I've heard from so many wives as an excuse who then later come and tell us that the husband has actually admitted and that was a lie. I've just never seen that to be a true thing of like pop-ups and viruses. Now, is it possible? Possibly. There is some stuff, especially maybe like 5 years ago.
Yeah, like a long time ago, that was more of an issue,
more
but
of a
not
thing.
So much now.
Yeah, I think that Google Chrome and your browsers today, I don't think that's really a common thing anymore, the way that they fix those that kind of stuff. I'm not saying that I'm 100% right, but if it talks like a duck, walks like a duck, it's probably a duck. And that concept is that it looks, man, it looks really bad. It looks like not just that you found the porn searches, but also the erased history. The only reason you erase history is if you have something to hide. Mm-hmm. And so that's just my quick take on that. I'm going to give a little advice here about the pornography issue for those men who are struggling with this. This is the cancer in the church. You'll hear me talk about it a lot because it is probably the number one thing mm-hmm. plaguing the church today is pornography. I can't tell you how many people email me about this. Wives, husbands, this is rampant in the church.
Yeah.
And it's because we haven't heard the correct gospel on the matters of this kind of stuff. Like we don't know what the word actually says. And I'm not going to do the whole thing. That's another day, but I'm going to give some stuff. Sin has a way of making people fall in love with it. We love our sin.
It's attractive.
It's attractive. It's deceitful. It's
feels
seductive.
Good.
Yeah, it feels good to our flesh. We're going to lie for it. We are going to deceive other people for it. We will risk our marriages over it. This is what happens with sin. So don't be shocked when your husband tries to hide it. That's what, one, it's shameful. And then also, men and women do incredible things to hide sin. And so just don't be naive to the reality of this stuff. 1 Peter 2:11 says, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul." This is a war is what's going on, a spiritual battle. And just need to recognize that this is like warfare for your husband's soul right here. And just, I'm saying, don't walk into this lightly. Don't walk into this naively. I think a lot of wives do that often. This is war. It requires prayer. It requires real, raw conversations. And we'll talk about that here in a second. Hebrews 3:13 also ends this passage with, "Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Sin is super deceptive. It makes you almost feel like it's okay. You end up become comfortable with it. You almost numb or desensitized to sin. You go, you know what? Like, I've already done it so many times. Like,
and I haven't gotten in trouble for it yet.
Yeah, you know what? God just loves me the way that I am. Like, I'll be fine.
Nobody's getting hurt by this.
Yeah,
that's a lie.
Yeah. The reality is that when you're practicing, in 1 John, I believe it's chapter 3, it talks about the idea of people who practice. It says that the way that you tell the difference between the sons of God and the sons of Satan is that the sons of God practice righteousness, while the sons of Satan practice sin. Now, when you look at a guy who looks at pornography, they practice sin. And what does it mean to practice sin? It means that you're getting better at it. And if you look at men who look at pornography sites, they get better at it. They decide what type of sites they like. They know what type of, you know, what type of porn is their style. They get better at hiding it. This is what happens to men. They practice it. They're getting better at it. And it says that you're a son of the devil if you do this. It means that you're unrepentant. You might be apologetic. You might be shameful. You might feel guilty. but you're not repentant. And I say this often, how many unrepentant sinners go to heaven?
None.
And so the idea is that we need to be repentant. Now, there's a difference between, oh, I sinned and, you know, but a repetitive practicing of sin is a different way of being. You are not set free.
You're in bondage.
Yeah. John 8:31-32. You will know my disciples. He who is my disciple will, he who abides in my word is my disciple indeed. And the truth, he shall know the truth and the truth shall set him free.
Boom.
Boom. If he doesn't know the truth, he hasn't been set free. Mm-hmm. And that's likely what happens. It's a false gospel that he doesn't understand the gospel really. And again, I'm saying some big statements, so hopefully you hear them with a little bit of compassion, and or I'm just making generalized statements here. Ultimately, sin is slavery, and the sin of pornography is slavery, and it has so many people in bondage. And what did Jesus Christ come here to do? Is to set the captives free. By his stripes, we are healed. Mm-hmm. And we're healed from the sickness of sin. That's what it's talking about there. And when you're in bondage, it creates a pattern of living that gets a man to give up his time, his money, his integrity, his reputation in service to his sin. And that's just what happens. It becomes his God and his master. It literally rules him. And that's what's going on with pornography inside the church and outside the church. So repeated pornography use isn't some slight spiritual infraction that needs some sin management. That's what we think, just some sin management. We just put a little sin management on there, and that'll fix it. It's actually, in my opinion, the highway to hell. I believe it literally steals people away from the faith. It makes them numb. If a man is failing here, he begins to fail everywhere. You want to know why men aren't talking in the church? You want to know why men aren't leading and why men are passive? Well, because they've had their confidence ripped from them, because every week they're in bondage to this private addiction to pornography. They're literally ripped down and they go, yeah, I'm not going to go become the best father and the best husband and the best leader over here when I know I'm a giant hypocrite on the inside because I'm a sinful, unrepentant pornography addict in the dark of my room every night.
It reminds me of the scripture that says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desires.
Yes. Yeah. Proverbs 18:1. Mm-hmm.
You don't see a lot of people talking about it because they're shameful about it. So they isolate it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a sin that needs confession. Mm-hmm. I've seen this over and over again. If you want to make this thing go away, men, you got to go confess it. And don't confess it to the guy that is in your small group. You didn't sin against the guy in your small group. You sinned against your wife. Go confess it to your wife and just repent to her and let her be upset and distraught, and don't try to lighten it in any way. And so this is a threat to your eternal security and your marriage. That's really what it is. It's a threat to your eternal security. That's what it is. If you want to play the game, the once saved, always saved game, you're just walking a knife blade. What I'm saying, the scriptures have a strong argument for people who are unrepentant in their sin and practicing sin. I'm just saying you can read it. It should at least put you on edge. And you might think that this is harsh. It might be harsh, but it's not harmful. You know what's harmful is not hearing this. Mm-hmm. You know what's harmful is God's judgment on people who walk this way. That's harmful.
And not changing. That's harmful.
Yeah. And this is healing. This is harsh, but it's healing. Mm-hmm. And so a couple things. The truth is, for this specific question here, your husband fears your reaction more than he fears God. And so I think that's really important, is that we need to recognize that if you're afraid of your wife more than you are afraid of God, Satan's got you right where he wants you. And so this is also a lesson for the ladies, which I want to talk about, is your husband isn't your enemy here. Your enemy is the enemy. Mm-hmm. And so you need to walk this out with him in a gentle way. I recommend that you get your husband together and assure him that you want to know the truth. Like, you want to know the truth, And you will be upset, but you're not going to be broken. You will get past this together because you're in a covenant relationship with each other, and Satan is not going to break this covenant. But you want to hear it. Just give me the truth. I want to work with you through this. We're going to get through this together.
Yeah. Would you rather know and be hurt or not know and have this secret life happening behind your back?
And totally rampage your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my, again, it needs to be confessed. I just encourage all men that if you're struggling with this, go confess it. It says in James, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And so I just, that's what you need to do. That's just how it works in my experience with this sin. I'm passionate about that. We are going to eventually be launching a course on how to quit pornography according to the gospel. And that's coming soon. Lord willing, would you guys pray for us for the protection, spiritual protection against the enemy's attacks on that initiative? Because it's coming hopefully this year, Lord willing. And we'll break some chains and get some people out of prison.
Okay, next question. And this question has to do with parenting. And before I get into it, we do get a lot of parenting questions. And there's a reason why we don't always answer them. We very rarely will answer a parenting question. And the reason is because our oldest is 5. Mm-hmm. So, or about to be 5 in a couple weeks. And so that's all the experience we have.
Yeah, we talk about toddler stuff because we've dealt with toddlers, but we don't hit a lot of like the older kid parenting stuff at all, actually. And the toddler stuff, we just don't like to take on too much of it because, again, we only have so much experience in it. But this is a good question, and I think we got a lot to say on this.
All righty. So the question is, how would you guys recommend going about establishing quiet time by themselves with a toddler who hasn't done it previously and wants to spend every single moment with you? Should you punish them for walking out of their space? Okay, so I'm assuming this question is coming from somebody who has heard us talk about this before. Because we do this in our family daily.
We do quiet time.
Our kids have to do quiet time every day or take a nap. So there's a couple of tools that I use for that in the morning. Our kids are not allowed to get out of the room until 7:30. So we try and get up around 6 and then so we can have like an hour and a half of quiet time, getting ready for the day, just preparing ourselves. And then the kids are allowed to come down at 7:30 and they have a clock in their room. It is called the OK to Wake clock. You can look that up on Amazon. And it's basically like an alarm clock with it just turns on. The light turns on at 7:30. And they know that as soon as that light turns on, that is when they are allowed to come downstairs. Mm-hmm. And so if your child has never done it before, then sure, you're going to have several mornings or days or nap times, whatever time of the day you decide to use it, days in a row of training them. You need to get them to understand and learn that they are not allowed to come out of the room or out of their quiet time space until the light is turned on. Another thing that I want to say is that we have to remember that our children need to be taught how to obey.
Mm-hmm.
If they haven't been trained to obey until the count of 3 or until you get up out of your seat and start chasing them down the hall, then we need to have grace with our children when we're trying to teach them something new and they don't necessarily obey right away.
Yeah, because you've trained them to not listen the first time. And so you got
to
establish
a new...
Yeah, you
train them to listen when you say the number 3 or when you get up out of your seat.
Yeah.
So yeah, you need to have grace with them and not get so frustrated and so angry because they're not listening because they haven't been taught how to listen in this specific circumstances. And then another thing to remember is that sin is deeply wrapped up in the heart of our children.
Mm-hmm. They're already like, just if you look at a young baby, they already are fighting to exercise their own will. And they are, they're little sinners. You know, they'll hit you, they'll bite you, they'll say no to you. It's amazing how it's wrapped up in the heart of a child.
Yeah, their desire to exercise their own will is really just their desire to rule their own flesh.
Yes.
And the reality is we all have a ruler, and that's the Lord himself.
Mm-hmm.
And so until our children are old enough to know who God is, we are God to our children. We're God's example. We are God's authority figure.
Yeah.
To our children until they have a relationship with Christ.
Yeah, and if a child can't be obedient to God or obedient to his parents, he will not be able to be obedient to God. And that's what you see right now, is that we have a generation of wild childs growing up that can't be obedient to their own parents, and they're not going to be able to be obedient to God in that same manner.
Mm-hmm. And a good thing to remember is that you're breaking their will, but not, you have to be very careful not to break their spirit. In Ephesians 6:4, it says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." It also says it again in Colossians 3:21, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." You don't want to exasperate your child mm-hmm. and have them become bitter towards you and have them have anger in their heart towards you. Mm-hmm. Because that's really hard to work through.
Mm-hmm. You want them to know that you're here to be firm, mm-hmm. uncompromising, but want to help them.
Yeah. So gently correct them in love and help guide them in the direction that you have for them. Mm-hmm. If you want to hear more on that, specifically with babies and really young toddlers, I wrote a blog on it, I don't know, probably like a year ago, called Blanket Time. And yeah, that's kind of how we introduce quiet time. And that's at veronicapartridge.com. And I don't know, there's probably only 5 articles on there.
Yeah,
so
you'll find it. We need to move that stuff over to Ultimate Marriage. Yeah, you know, I think about when your kids break God's laws, which is, you know, your child isn't being disobedient to you, they're being disobedient to God. They're supposed to honor their parents, their mother and father. It's in the Ten Commandments. We need to treat them how God treats us when we're disobedient. And, you know, we need to mirror the kind of the tone, the attitude, the voice, the facial expressions, that all that kind of the wrath of God, but the love of God at the same time. And the way that we get disciplined, we know that in Hebrews chapter 12, it says that God disciplines those he loves. He does discipline us as children. And, you know, so every time we need to kind of exercise authority, we got to also exercise our patience, our mercy, our firmness, our grace, our love.
Kindness, gentleness. Yeah.
Yeah. All that stuff just needs to be exercised there. And it's really hard. It's really hard because you're really giving them a picture and an image of God. That's what you're trying to do.
And if you find yourself getting angry and frustrated in the middle of trying to teach your child this thing, you actually need to look at your own heart mm-hmm. in that moment.
Yeah. Because
you're taking it as a personal offense when they haven't sinned against you, they sinned against God.
And this is in their heart. You're not dealing with just the bad behaviors and the bad words. I don't want to do this. You're dealing with the heart. Your heart of your child is not yielded to you because they want to be an autonomous being. And the word autonomous, auto means self, and autonomous means governing. So self-governing. They want to be self-governing. They don't want to submit or yield to anything. And that is cute maybe when it's a year and a half years old. It's not cute at 16. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to work this stuff out. You want to win your child's heart early on so that you don't have to battle through the behavior modification of later life when they want to just serve mom and dad. And so that's what we're learning and we're walking out, and it's really hard. We have a strong-willed child and it's hard. And so, you know, we're still battling constantly. But we're consistent, and Veronica is a beast in terms of just reading books and staying on top of it and working hard at it. And so it takes a lot of work to raise up godly children. That's just the case. I mean, if you want to be lazy, you can raise up, you know, kids get raised up with lazy parents all the time and they turn out like the culture. But if you want to raise up godly kids, it's so much work. It's so much work. We were just spending time being a dad, and I walked downstairs going, oh my gosh, this is so tough. So we're with you guys.
Hey, Hey, Dale Partridge here. We hope this podcast has been a blessing to your marriage. For those that don't know, Ultimate Marriage is a ministry under our nonprofit, relearnchurch.org. I'm telling you this because we're a listener-supported podcast. It takes a small team, a serious amount of equipment, and several hours per week to keep this show going. Now, we tell you this because Veronica and I would like to grow the reach of this show so that it might help even more couples understand the Bible's design for marriage. So if you're a regular listener of this podcast, would you consider supporting us in this ministry effort? We're not asking for much, maybe $5, $10, or $25 per month. I promise that your support will help us continue to get God's truth out, to save marriages and strengthen families. If you feel led to make a donation, simply go to relearnchurch.org/donate. Again, that's relearnchurch.org/donate. Thank you so much for your consideration.
Third question, and then we'll close out after this question. And Veronica's going to read it.
Okay. Third question. My husband has a childhood friend that he maintains contact with. He claims she is like a sister to him, and he could never be attracted to her romantically. However, their text messages do seem to be playful and flirty in nature, and that is hurtful to me. I've told him how I feel about this in the past, but he told me I am being controlling and lacking trust and continues to message her privately. What steps should I as his wife take if he refuses to stop contacting the other woman? I mean, there's a difference between being friendly and flirty.
Yeah.
There's a big difference. So before approaching your husband in this conversation, I mean, you already have, but I would also just be very sure and clear in your understanding in your spirit of which one it is.
Yeah.
But either way, if you're uncomfortable, there needs to be a conversation had.
Totally.
Flirting is one of the first steps to cheating.
Yes.
Flirtation in the dictionary is defined as suggestive behavior with sexual intent.
Yeah. Did you guys catch that? I just want you guys to catch that. What she just said, flirtation is defined in the dictionary as suggestive behavior with sexual intent. And so when wives go, oh, he just has a flirtatious personality, I'm like, wait, what? Like, so you're totally cool with just him suggestively sexually communicating with other women.
The only woman he should be flirting with is his wife.
Yeah. And that's the sad thing is that the men that I see that struggle with this, that are flirting with other people and their wives are talking about this, they're actually the same guys who have forgotten to flirt with their own wife. And so it just double compounds on this poor woman that he's flirting with that woman and not flirting with me. And so it becomes this really dangerous territory. I think that flirting is a sampling of sin. It's kind of how close can I get to the edge without falling into the canyon? And, you know, so
I think it's sin.
I think it's absolutely sin. Yeah. It's not okay to enliven yourself with the beauty of another woman if you're a married man. That's, you just don't get to do that. That's when you say yes to your wife on your wedding day, it means also that you say no to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to recognize that you've said yes, you don't get to have the other stuff and your wife too. And so it's just critical that we have that position and that posture when your wife asks you to stop doing that. She owns you. The Bible literally says that she owns your body and he owns your body. I mean, this is what it talks about in 1 Corinthians 7. And so are we going to be biblical or not? I think the biggest question for this situation is that if I was offering marriage coaching to this couple, I would say, so are you Christian or are you not? And if he said, oh yeah, I'm Christian, I go, okay, well then let's just look at what the Bible says. And we look at what the Bible says, and then I go, are you going to be obedient to this, or are you going to willingly and understandingly be disobedient to it and unrepentantly sinful? And just get an answer. Like, what are you going to do? Because if you walk that way, that means you're also walking away from Jesus Christ himself. You're just saying that, no, God, I'm not going to do it your way. I'm not going to be obedient to you. I'm not going to be repentant for my sin. That's a big deal. And so the word, if you know, our marriages have 100% chance of success if we just do it God's way. And so Ephesians 5:25, I just go, let's just read the scripture and just go, are you doing this? It says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. gave himself up for her. So whatever your desires are as a husband, you need to be able to give yourself up as a sacrifice, those desires, for your wife. Not argue back and say, you're just not trusting. Wives have a radar on other women that we don't, the same way that us men have a radar on other guys that they don't. So just take that for what it's worth. It says in verse 26, and why do you love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for you? Well, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. You should be pouring scripture over your wife's mind, not making her jealous as you're privately flirting through text message with another woman. Are you Christian? That's the question that we need to come to. Is he Lord or not? Because if he's Lord, then this is what your Lord just told you to do. If he's not Lord, then you just need to determine if you're actually Christian or if you're one of these people that you say, Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. And he says, away from me, I do not know you. Scary scriptures. Okay, verse 27. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Our job as husbands is to make our wives pure and not interrupt in her holiness and relationship with God, but actually uphold and support it. Give ourselves up for her. Furnish her life with the ability to be close with the Lord. Another scripture I'm going to mention, Proverbs 6, 24 through 25. It says, to preserve you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Do not desire her beauty in your heart, and do not let her capture you with her eyelashes. 1 Corinthians 10, 23. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Just because it's even smart doesn't mean it's right. And cool, yeah, can you talk to another woman? Is there any scripture that's going to condemn you from talking to another woman? No. But just because you can doesn't mean you should, especially if the woman that you're in a covenant relationship with and supposed to love her the way that Christ loved the church doesn't want you to. So I say just don't do that. Galatians 6, 7 says, do not be deceived. I'm going to repeat that. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that he will also reap. Man, if you sow into that stuff, you're going to reap something out of that stuff. And so I just go, man, husbands, if this is you, do you really love your wife like Christ loved the church or not? It's all about sacrifice. It's difficult. And we are to be modeling the ultimate marriage. No pun intended, but that's why our show is called that.
And what would you say to the wife if this is her husband?
I'd say you need to follow Matthew 18. I would say go confront him directly about it. If he doesn't want to do that, then I would bring two or three witnesses that are not on your side, but are disinterested parties who love you both, and bring in a friend or two to come in and talk about that. And if he is unwilling to change even then, it says to bring him before the church. Now, this is your own husband. You're dealing with sin here. You just need to determine if he's Christian or not. So I think bring some other people into the conversation if he won't correct the behavior with you asking that. I think that's the safety of community and what the church is here for. I don't know if you'd agree.
Yeah. I just wanted some more clarity on that.
Yeah. So, guys, we're going to close out here because this is a short show for you Christmas folks going into the new year. Excited for the next episode. We're going to talk about a couple things that we'd like you to do for 2019 and every new year if you're listening to this later. So go ahead and we got a memory verse for the men. I want you guys to memorize this. Veronica's can read it for us.
Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her.
So just a good scripture. Every man should have this memorized. I use it all the time.
And I use it all the time too.
Yeah.
Hey, babe, what does the Bible say? I'm just kidding.
Love me like Christ loves the church. So yeah, a couple things. If you guys want to listen to this podcast on our website, you can go to ultimatemarriage.com /why do I do this every single week? It's not /. I need to make it /podcast. I haven't done that yet. Anyways.
Don't ask me. I don't know what it is.
I know. Just go to the website and click on the podcast page. The episodes, the last episode is first, so this episode will be there. You guys can watch the video, see all the scriptures we reference, see all the quotes that I've pulled out, you know, I think the one-liners that we've said.
The link to the clock.
The link to the clock I'll put in there, all that kind of stuff. Just make it's available for you there, the video to watch on our website, again, at ultimatemarriage.com. And again, if you guys, just a reminder, leave us a review if you're one of those people that's listened for 25 episodes and haven't left a review yet. I'm asking you guys to do us a favor for that. So that'd be great. On that note,
have a Merry Christmas.
Have a Merry Christmas that was yesterday for them.
Oh, just kidding.
Have a Happy New Year coming up, and we'll talk to you guys after that. All right, guys, take care. Bye-bye. Bye.
Hey, Dale Partridge here. I think Christians underestimate the influence the culture can have on us. I think without even noticing, many of us have traded this incredible life God wants for us for an empty counterfeit. If you haven't realized, the church has become comfortable with things we shouldn't be comfortable with. We've normalized things in our work, our marriages, our families, and our finances that are not normal. But the question I have for you is this. What does the Bible say about what's normal? What kind of life should Christians be chasing? Now, what if I told you that what's popular isn't superior? What if I told you that what seems smart isn't actually right? What if I told you that the world's view of success is actually God's definition of failure? The Bible says that the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. So what if we're doing it wrong? What if the lives who follow Jesus look more like the culture than like Christ? What if the life we're so desperate to have isn't something to seek after, but to be saved from? I answer these questions in my latest book, Saved from Success, How God Can Free You from Culture's Distortion of Family, Work, and the Good Life. It's short, it's convicting, and it's a bold book. Get your copy in hardback or audiobook at ultimatemarriage.com/success. Again, that's ultimatemarriage.com/success. Now, let's dive into the show. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Ultimate Marriage. If you're homesick for a stronger marriage, visit our website at ultimatemarriage.com and consider enrolling in our 1-year online marriage mentor program. Also, if you're interested in learning more about building a better marriage, follow Veronica and I on social media, where each week we share tips, tricks, and lessons on building a biblical marriage.